Our second week of a series called Fearless, and we're looking at scripture where we find this guy. His name's Gideon, and we're looking at his story, what it looks like to have this fearless faith. You know, it's not easy, is it? Gideon was called to be a judge during a time of intense trouble in Israel. The nation was suffering under the grip of the Midianite oppression. They watched helplessly as their land was stripped. Their homes and villages were absolutely destroyed. Their lives were in danger. They're living in fear. And their condition is summed up in the first chapter of Judges, verse 6, where the Bible says that they were impoverished. This word literally means that they were at the end of their rope. The people of Israel felt as though their nation was destroyed and that their lives were over. And Israel's main problem is that they counted God out. We should never count God out, right? Never. And so what they did is they cried out to him, but they probably didn't believe that he was really listening. And so it didn't really give them much hope. And they really didn't believe that he was able to do anything to help them. And so God sent them a man, sent them a prophet, and to remind them of the Lord's grace in their lives and to call them to a place of repentance. And what we're about to read here is really unbelievable. It's in the handout. There's a Bible in the seat back in front of you. You've got the church app on your phone or your device, and you can read there. It's really an act of faith and obedience that is rarely seen, but Gideon exemplifies it. And I know for a fact that there's many people that are praying and believing for miracles right now. So many different areas of life. Some of you are praying for your children. Others are praying for friends or family to come into a relationship with Christ. Some are praying for a breakthrough, an overcome depression, a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's a relational breakthrough. Some of you are praying for your parents. Their marriage just isn't good. You're praying for a miracle. Some of you are praying for a physical miracle. God, heal me of this cancer. Heal someone that I love of this disease. Some of you are praying for your own marriage. Whatever it is, if you've been believing God for a long time for something significant and you still haven't seen the results, I want you to know and I want you to see through God's word today, his love letter to us, that he can do exceedingly and abundantly. God is able to blow your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Men, our faith will be increased. And he did this for Gideon. He'll do it for you. Judges chapter 7, it's kind of a longer scripture, but it's a great story. It reads like a story. And it says, Jerubbaal, which is Gideon's name, got up early the next morning, all his troops right there with him. They set up camp at Herod's spring. The camp of Midian was in the plain, north of them, near the hill of Morah. God said to Gideon, you have too large of an army with you. I can't turn Midian over to them like this. They'll take all the credit, saying, I did it all myself and forget about me. Make a public announcement. Anyone afraid, anyone who has any qualms at all, may leave Mount Gilead now and go home. 22 companies headed for home. 10 companies were left. And God said to Gideon, there are still too many. Take them down to the stream and I will make my final cut. And when I say, this one goes with you, he'll go. And when I say, this one does not go with you, he will not. So Gideon took the troops down to the stream. And God said to Gideon, everyone who laps with his tongue the way that a dog laps, set on one side. And everyone who kneels to drink, drinking with his face to the water, set to the other side. 300 men lapped with their tongues from their cupped hands, and all the rest knelt to drink. God said to Gideon, I'll use 300 men who lapped at the stream and save and give Midian into your hands, and all the rest of them can go home. And after Gideon took all of their provisions and their trumpets and he sent all the Israelites home, he took up his position with 300 men. The camp of Midian stretched out below him in a vast valley. That night, God told Gideon, get up. Go down to the camp. I've given it to you. I've already given it to you. If you have any doubts about this, about going down, go down with Purah, your armor bearer. And when you hear what they're saying, you'll be bold. You will be confident. And his armor bearer, Purah, went down near the place where sentries were posted. Midian and Amalek and all the Easterners were spread out on the plain like a swarm of locusts, and their camels passed counting like grains of sand on a seashore. Gideon arrived just in time to hear a man tell his friend a dream. He said, "I had this dream. A leaf of barley bread tumbled into the Midianite camp. It came to the tent and it hit so hard that it collapsed and the tent fell." I've got a little bit of a speculation there. I'm pretty sure that they were smoking something really crazy that night. And because, you know, I've heard, I've never done, and that it makes you really hungry. And so this guy's dreaming, and he's dreaming about loaves of barley bread tumbling into the Midianite camp. And I think his friend is smoking something too, because we see in verse 14, he says, "This has to be the sword of Gideon, son of Joash." How do you get a loaf of barley bread? This is the son of Gideon and a sword. And so he goes on. He said, God has turned Midian, the whole camp, over to him already. And so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and it was in, and its interpretation, he went to his knees before God in prayer. And then he went back to the Israelite camp and he said, "Get up and get going. God has given us the Midianite army." He divided the 300 men into three companies. He gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar with a torch in the jar. And he said, "Watch me, do what I do. And when I get to the edge of the camp, blow the trumpets. And we're going to surround the camp. Blow your trumpets and shout for God and for Gideon." So for those of you who have been followers of Christ, chances are at some point in your life, God's asked you to do something, hasn't he? Probably showed you something that was really, really powerful. It might be, you know, you were reading through the Bible, there was this verse, maybe you've read it 100 times, you've learned about it as a child, and just at this one time, this verse feels like it was for you. It jumped out, it landed on your lap, and it's just sitting there. It's so surreal, it's almost tangible, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is so amazing, this is amazing, and this is what is speaking to me right now." And so you tell your friends and you're like, "Look at this verse," like the one that we're talking about today. And Gideon had his 300 and he was already outnumbered and God still whittled down the army. And now he's only got 300 and he checked this out and they're going up against 135,000 Midianites. And what happens when God shows up, and what he does is he shows off, because everything that God does should amaze his people. We have a tendency to get callous, don't we? You're like, "Oh yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, I've seen that magic trick. Yep. Oh man, yeah, God, I've seen God do way bigger stuff than that. It's really not that big a deal." But everything that he does should leave us in awe. We're looking around and we should be saying, "Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing?" I talked to a few people today, this week on the phone, and we're just sharing what God is doing and healing that's taken place, whether it's physical, emotional, or financial. And I'm like, I go home and I'm telling Nicole, I'm like, "Man, this is so cool that we're just seeing God at work constantly in people's lives." And God used 300 men that lapped water like a rabid dog. I don't know if this is God's way of saying, "Hey, listen, I use idiots, I use anybody. If you lap water like a dog, you're in, come on in." But he uses this 300 men to beat an army of 135,000. And you're telling this to your friend, you're telling it to your coworker, maybe it's a relative, and they're like, "Yeah, oh man, that is cool. Do you want to go get some coffee?" And then what happens is this door of conversation opens. Real life-changing conversation. The conversation that changes a spiritual atmosphere of someone's life, of someone's marriage, of someone's family. And it could affect them for generations. Crazy to think. It could be a song, it could be a message, it could just be a moment with God, and you're like, "That was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced." Maybe that happened to you today. Maybe it happened to you last week. I don't know. Maybe it's going to happen to you this week. And you sensed the presence of God. And you might lean over to the person next to you and say, "Man, wasn't that awesome? That was amazing." And they're like, yeah, it is amazing. They have free coffee at this church. And the donuts. Do you ever get here early enough to get the maple? Because, you know, that's been an ongoing conversation with a few people the last few weeks. And I get it. We need to order more maple donuts, all right? And you look at them and you're like, "What's wrong with you? Are you okay?" Let's rewind this for a second. this is what happened to Gideon. I believe there are some of you that you're going to have a moment like that where you're going to hear from God, or maybe you've recently heard from God, and it's like the heavens open up. God is speaking directly to you. You are the only one on this earth. God is having a one-on-one conversation. And God is saying to you and telling you and downloading this information. And Gideon has a moment like this. God had something to show him. He couldn't possibly believe that his warrior army could be brought down to 300 and take on and overcome 135,000 Midianites. That is 450 warriors to one of Gideon's warriors. Verse 9 through 12. That night, God told Gideon, "Get up, go down to the camp. I've given it to you." When God speaks, right? I've given it to you. Just go down. Check out what I've already given you. If you have any doubts about going down there, go down with Purah, your armor bearer. And when you hear what they're saying, you will be bold. You will be confident. So a question I have for you is, what do you need to hear from God on? What are you waiting? What is the prayer that you are waiting on? Maybe God has already spoken and fear has gripped you. God is waiting for you to move, but you are solidified in fear. It's gripped you. It's holding you hostage. And what is happening is you are being held back from the very best. To me, that would motivate me. I want the very best. I like the very best, because what I want you to know is that where you are at right now is not all that God has for you. Where you are at now is not all that God has for you. Maybe your marriage is amazing. Maybe you're not having any problems with your children. Maybe work is going fine. All of these things, you know, you're financially set. But let me just tell you, God has more. But I also want to tell you that you don't get to go home and you don't get to leave the campus today. And you can say, "Hey, honey, you know, pastor said that there's more. And, you know, I get a get out of frail jail free card and I'm done with you." And, you know, that's not what I'm saying. God does have more for your marriage, though. You may think you have the best marriage in the world. There is more. There is the best still waiting. And it's not another person. It is more with your spouse. All right. Let's make that clear. I don't know. Some of you've been followers of Christ, and I hope you've had moments like this where you're so in tune. You are in the presence of God, and you may simultaneously be grieved over your own sinfulness, but you are rejoicing over the beauty of God's grace and his love for you and who he is, knowing that you are forgiven. In a moment with God, you are overwhelmed by his comforter. The Bible calls him the comforter. You are overwhelmed by his presence, by his assurance, and you just don't want it to end. And if you haven't had a moment like that, I would encourage you, seek him, seek him, seek him, and continue to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13, one of my all-time favorite scriptures. You thought I was going to say Jeremiah 29:11, didn't you? 29:13, if you seek me. It's one of the over 7,000 promises to God, to his people, which is us. And it says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you haven't found him, if you haven't found what you're looking for in the Lord, then I encourage you and I challenge you to not give up, to get on your knees, to spend time in worship and to seek him and to seek him. Let's look at the application. How does this apply to our life? How do we stand firm in faith when you're praying and you just don't see anything happening? Because if we're really honest, all of us have been there. All of us have been there. We've all been there where we're full of doubt. Maybe we're full of fear. We're saying, "Welcome, this is, you know, this isn't being answered." God cares about you more than anybody else. He cares more about you than you care about you. Our God cares about you more than you possibly can care about yourself. And we can't change that. It's how compassionate, it's how loving, it's how amazing that God is for us. And God cares for his people. And you can find this in your notes, that God reduced Gideon's army to 300, proving to his people, Israel, that it is he who will win the battle. He could have sent them to the wolves. And even Gideon had this full army of 30-some thousand warriors. He was still way outnumbered by like 100,000 plus. But God said, no. I'm about to show you how great I am. I'm about to show you how great I am. I'm going to take your doubt. I'm going to take your fear. I'm going to take your depression. I'm going to take your sickness. And if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that we're any less to him. Do we understand that? Just if he doesn't, that doesn't mean, if we've got unanswered prayers, that doesn't mean that we're less cared for than anybody else in this room or anybody else that's a part of the church. We can get caught up in, oh man, so-and-so was healed, and man, I haven't received a healing and I've been praying, or man, they're totally blessed financially. How come I don't, you know, can't make that kind of money or get that kind of job, or, you know, and how come their prayer's answered and I've been praying longer, I've been praying harder, I've been seeking the Lord, and I don't know. Maybe you're sitting here saying, I'm still here and I don't see nothing. I don't know what the answer is, but here, let me just share with you briefly what I do know is God's love does not change for us. He is always there. The Bible says that he's closer than a brother. And I know that his ways are not my ways, and he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I know these things. And this is what we've got to hear. This is why you're here today, that you are precious to God. Every single one of us, you are valuable to God. He loves you. He cares about you. There's nothing that you can do to make him love you any more or make him love you any less. He loves you because that's not just what he does. It is literally who he is. God is love. And you are precious to God. The word precious means valuable. Can't even put a price tag on it. That's what that word literally means. Valuable. And our good God looks at you with the same kind of love that a loving father has for his children. And you are precious to God. He cares about you more than you even can care about yourself. God is doing more than we can possibly understand. He's doing way, way, way more than our minds can even comprehend. I want to encourage you today that since the first day that you began to pray for whatever that thing is, maybe it'll be today. Since the first moment that prayer came from your heart and your lips, the time that you humbled yourself before God, your request was heard by God. Since the first time you prayed, God has heard it. Judges 6, Gideon was visited by an angel of the Lord. Judges chapter 7, it is on like Donkey Kong. Gideon is preparing to go to battle. He is so outnumbered. It's absolutely crazy. We look at the story of fear and impossibility. And you know, maybe you've been praying for a long time about something. For those of you who've been praying for so long that you even wonder if it's worth it, and maybe you've just stopped. Those of you who've been praying so long that you know, the only voice that you hear back is, why even bother? Just forget it. God doesn't care about you. You know, if God were going to do something, he would have done it by now. He would have done it a long time ago. You're praying, and you're just wasting your breath, and we hear these voices of negativity. God's not listening. He's not going to do it. Stop talking to him. He doesn't even exist. And we hear this false voice, this voice of negativity, these lies that will combat God. I want to talk to those who have that in your heart, even now. Now, what I want you to understand is that the first time you prayed, God heard your cry. The first time you prayed for healing for that person you love, God heard your prayer. The first time you prayed for your child and begged God to do a miracle, they need a healing, God heard your prayer. The first time you prayed, oh, listen, our good, amazing God heard every word that you said. The first time you called on him, heaven heard your prayer. The first time you cried out in faith, believing, heaven opened up and God heard your prayer. So what we have to remember is that we battle not against the flesh and the blood, but against the powers and the principalities of a dark world. In other words, what you see with your eyes is not all that there is. Don't ever believe that just this physical realm is all that there is. Think about this. God is speaking to Gideon. Gideon is praying. We see him multiple times. He humbles himself in chapters surrounding Judges chapter 7 and in chapter 7. Gideon chapter 6, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. The angel of God appeared to him and said, real deal, he sees this in the form of a being. God is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon prayed, and he continued to pray, and he continued to pray. And what did he see? Gideon saw answers. He saw breakthrough. He saw God in a way that maybe most people never will. And when I pray and nothing happens, not a thing, you haven't seen anything, just listen and understand. Because God is doing something. Just because you can't see it, God is doing something. Do you think that 300 men can overcome 135,000 men in the natural? No, it's the supernatural. It's God making these things happen in the things that we cannot see. Maybe you've been praying for a long time and you've been crying out to God and you haven't seen anything. Listen, God is doing something on your behalf. God hears your cries. God hears your heart. God is at work for you. And I hope you know this. The first time you cried out to God, he released his angels, and they are doing warfare for you in a way that we can't possibly comprehend. We can't possibly understand it. And you just keep praying. You keep praying, and you keep believing. And it's not always going to be a Gideon experience. We're not always going to get to see or if ever get to see an angel of the Lord come to us. But it encourages us. It encourages us. Gideon saw this and he was encouraged. This angel called him a mighty warrior. This is a message through this angel from God to Gideon. You are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. God loves you so much that he's doing these things. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In fact, it's a New Testament principle. Paul actually said this: in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. It's one of those things that just, okay, yep, that doesn't make any sense. But you know what, God, you're so much smarter than I am. If you said it, man, that's awesome. Some of you are going to come to a place in your faith where you feel like you've got nothing left. You're at the end of your string, just like the Israelites. Let me tell you what, that's when you're the strongest. That doesn't make sense. How can I be strong when I'm physically, emotionally, spiritually weak? The thing that we have to understand, it's not in our power, not by our might, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord, right? So that's how we, when our faith has overcome our fear, as puny as it may be, it overcomes the army that is waging war against you, whether that is a disease, whether that is a person, whether that is something that is afflicting you in your life. That faith overcomes that fear. 135,000, get real. Bring it on. The insurmountable odds. God is bigger than that. There's no giant, there's no army, there's no odds from a doctor that can stand in a way when God wants to move. So until we fully embrace our weaknesses, you'll never appreciate and experience God's strength. We have to know ourselves to be comfortable enough to say, you know what, man, this is not a strength of mine. I'm not good in this area. We've got to know ourselves well enough just to be honest with ourselves, be honest with God. But this over here, I'm really good at this, but I'm not good at this. And when you recognize and when you've prayed and, I don't have any more faith, I physically don't have any more strength, spiritually I am drained, I am at the end of myself, just like the Israelites said, that's when his power becomes more real than you have ever experienced before. Until you embrace your weakness, you'll never fully understand God's strength in you. Even Gideon couldn't see strength, but he prayed. And he listened, and Gideon obeyed. God was proving that I am in control. I'm in control despite how desperate the situation may be. God will overcome your fear if you have faith to take that step. When he says go, or maybe it's to take that leap, and he says go, it's not always a step. Sometimes it's a leap, man. You got to go. And some of you right now, that captures exactly where you're at. My strength is gone. I've been hanging on this marriage, been hanging on for my kids. I've been fighting for this financially. I just don't think that I can't do this. My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. I feel compressed, and the life and the fight is no longer in me. And you open your Bible and you hear a scripture, you see a scripture, you read something in a devotional, you're listening to the Christian radio on your way to work or on your lunch break. Someone at work is encouraging you, and you become recharged because God's word breathes life into us. If you're not reading God's word, then no wonder you're exhausted. No wonder you're frustrated. You're not being filled with life. Maybe you'll land on Jeremiah 32, 27. It says, I am God, the God of everything living. Is there anything I can't do? Some of you, this is all you need. This is it right here. There's your God moment. The word of God just asked you a question. God just threw down the challenge. Is there anything I can't do? This thing that's afflicting you, these finances, this disease, someone that's ill in your family. Is there anything I can't do? God is saying. Your fear is gone. Your faith is restored. You put faith over fear and you're coming back to Christ. You take a step of faith and you're believing God for that thing that you stopped believing God for years ago. It's enough to keep you going and your strength is returning. A moment in the presence of God and prayer and time in God's word and you feel the strength returning to you. You're very precious to God. And you can keep standing in faith because the first time that you prayed, God heard your prayer. And he released these angelic forces to do work in the heavenly realms. And he may do exactly what you're praying for, or he may not. I still have prayers that I'm waiting to be answered. Dad, how long did you pray for your father to accept the Lord?
26 years and 17 days.
And he did. My faith is not dwarfed because of unanswered prayers. My God is so much bigger than that. Just because we don't see anything doesn't mean that he's not at work doing something on our behalf. And people will look at your life and they will look at your situation and they will wonder, how are you still standing? How are you making it through? How are you overcoming this? Where do you draw your encouragement and your joy and your strength to get out of bed, to keep looking for that job, to keep striving for the very best? And you're going to say, listen, you don't understand, but I do. And I realize this, that God is in control despite how desperate the situation may be. And I continue to believe with everything in me because the first time I prayed, heaven heard my prayer. And I trust in God who is good. He is working in all things to bring about the good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And that's how I continue to stand. Because just because I can't see it doesn't mean that my God isn't doing something. He's at work for you and I. He is at work for you and I. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that in your presence, your Holy Spirit would strengthen your church to have faith, to believe that your will in heaven would be done here on earth. Maybe you're saying, I've been praying for something and I need this to keep believing. And others, you may say, you know what? I admit I have stopped praying for something in my life. And I believe that God heard my prayers and I'm going to pray for that thing again. I feel my strength returning through God's word today, through his presence, through encountering him, through the word and the worship today. And I want to believe again. Father, I thank you today for those who are continuing to believe for what others would say would absolutely be impossible. God, we thank you that you care about the intimate details of our lives, that you truly care about us even more than we could ever comprehend, even that we can understand that we are precious to you. We are so valuable. We are priceless, God. And we thank you that even though we don't see you doing anything all the time in the natural, by faith, we believe that you are at work. God is on the move. God is at work. He never sleeps. He never rests. And God, we thank you now at this moment for those who are at the end of their own strength. Weakness has set in. Fatigue has set in. And your strength is going to be made perfect in them. God, build their faith. Help them to humble themselves and come before you. Give us the faith to continue to believe, and even when we do not see. And God, even if you don't do what we think you should do, we continue to trust you because you're a sovereign God. You are a good God. who only has plans to bless us and prosper us, that your name would be glorified in this earth. And Lord God, we choose to trust in you. If you're here, or maybe you're listening online today, and in just a moment of complete honesty, just between you and the Lord, you say, I've never by faith really stepped into everything that God has for me. I've never really given God my whole life. Reckless abandon, I am all in. And maybe you're here and you don't know why. Quite honestly, you might not even want to be here. The very fact that you're here, that you're hearing this message, is God doing what he does in the spiritual. That's his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is revealing himself to you. It's his love, his loving kindness drawing you in. And you recognize, oh my goodness, I really think I need this. I really want to trust him. I want to give my life to him. But then there's this voice that says, you're not good enough. Remember what you did last night? Remember how you partied this last week? You know what? You know, look at how you've messed up. People are going to call you a hypocrite. Listen to me. All of that stuff is a reality of life. It is our sin nature. We've all sinned. But that's why his grace is so powerful, because Jesus, who was without sin, died and he rose again so that anyone who calls on his name would be saved, he would be forgiven, and they would be transformed. And that's why many of you are here, and you know it. Right at this moment, just like Gideon headed into battle, there is a battle for your eternal life. It's a battle for your eternal life. And so I ask you today, do you surrender, or do you leave the same way that you entered? If you would say at this moment, by faith, I surrender my life to Christ. And I know Nicole gave a call to salvation even at the beginning. Maybe this is hitting somebody else. Maybe today you're just saying, at this moment, by faith, I surrender my life to Christ. I'm all in. I give my life to him. I turn from my sins. My life belongs to him. It is not my own. Today, I'm with him. And if that's your prayer, would you just raise your hand right now? Thank you for your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, I surrender to you. I give it all. Thank you for giving your life on the cross. My life is not my own. Be the Lord of my life. Be first in every way. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can know you, so I can serve you, so I can follow you. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen and amen. Can we just give a praise offering for those that raised their hand? Would you stand to your feet? The Word of God says, if you prayed that with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, you are saved. So congratulations to you. You are saved. The Word of God stating that. Inside of your bulletin, there is a tear out, and there is a place that you can check that you made a decision to follow Christ today. And if you would do that, we would so appreciate it. We want to rejoice with you, and you can return that to the Resource Center. That would be just absolutely amazing.